Awesome, awesome. Stay standing. I want to read some scripture over you and prophesy it over you right now. And Holy Spirit was just speaking to me as we were singing that song, and there's an obvious link here, but just let's receive this. Paul said this, he says, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels. In other words, he's talking about clay pots that are cracked and far from perfect. There's imperfection there. That all the excellence of the power of God may be of God and not us. Then he goes on, he says, we're hard pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Always carrying about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the life of Jesus, that the life of Jesus also may be manifest in our body. And I just feel tonight, you know, some people here, and you feel like you are hard pressed on every side. But you know what I wanted to say? You are not struck down. You might be perplexed by some things going on in our greater world or in your personal world, but you do not have to live in despair. You know, there is imperfections in your world. Things don't always add up. Who's got the perfect life? My life's not perfect. Because some great people... Yes, Grant. Gaynor told Grant to put his hand up. But... Come on, sometimes we look around and we think somebody else has got a better life. We think that there's perfection somewhere else. But you know what? In your imperfection, what you carry inside you is designed to shine through those cracks and that imperfection. So that, you know, you can be hard-pressed on every side, but you are not struck down. And there might be some people walking in that right now. You know, the pressure's on. But you know what? You're not going to be pushed down. Things mightn't make sense. But you know what? There is still hope, and you are not overcome. Why don't you have a seat? Trying to think what year it was, just as I was thinking earlier, not this year. I know that this year is 2026, but not this year. I think it was about 2011, somewhere about that. I went on a trip with some of our family and with Alex, and we went on a trip on the Murray River. We're into water skiing, and we hired one of those river boats. And they're really cool. Done it a couple of times in my life. And it's a good fun holiday. And we got on this boat at Echuca and just headed off water skiing. And it started to become evident to me as we started to ski more that I had some issues. The main issue was the 30 or so extra kilos that I was carrying from when I used to be able to ski real good, in my opinion. In my head, I could do it. In my muscle memory and everything was there, and I was still basically skiing okay, but it was just getting harder. And you know, things that I used to be able to do real easy were becoming difficult. I'd skied lots and lots as a kid, and just to do a start on a single ski when you're learning to ski is actually something that's a little bit technical and takes a bit of getting the thing. And I would never, ever miss one of those. It was just something that I always had. And I started missing those starts. And I'm thinking, what's going on here? And basically it was that I was just getting too fat. And then somewhere on the trip, I did this, you know, start off the back of the boat and jumped off and didn't get my timing right and I broke a rib. And, you know, just stuff went on. And I decided that I wasn't going to live the rest of my life carrying what I was carrying. And And two times in my life, I've decided to do something about that. The time before was when I sold my business in 2004, and I actually had some space, and I went on a diet, and I did the thing that was all the rage then, but and it worked. I don't think sustainable way to live, the Atkins diet. And anyway, I lost rather quickly, you know, quite a bit of weight, probably about 25 kilos, and then over the next sort of five or so years, I think I put it back on until I got to that point again, and that's when I started cycling. And what I want to say is that I think it's actually quite often easier to get in shape than it is to stay in shape. Who's ever bought a gym membership and it's been cool for a while, but then you've lived in guilt of the money going down the drain because you never go to the gym? It's been there. I've been there. And I reckon staying in shape is definitely more difficult than getting in shape, because it actually means a changed lifestyle and a changed way of thinking about some of those things in your life. And it's easy to talk, you know, practically on a physical level, but what does it mean to holistically be in shape? What does it mean to holistically be in shape? What does it mean to be spiritually in shape? And I think one of the reasons that the Church of Jesus Christ isn't as effective as we're called to be at times is that we allow ourselves to get bent out of shape to a point where we're not in the shape that we're called to be. And rather than being like, you know, the Bible continually talks about us as Christians. It draws the analogy with servants and warriors and it talks about a battle. And it would indicate that we've actually got to be ready for what's to come. We've got to be ready to move. We've got to be ready to go. But often I think we almost take on the demeanor of the rest of our society where we get ourselves bent out of shape all the time. And when opportunities come, we're not in the shape to be able to take them. And I shared a little bit on this morning. I'm going to go in a different direction tonight. But in John 15, verses 1 to 4, Jesus says, "I am the true grapevine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch of mine that doesn't produce fruit, and he prunes those branches that do bear fruit so that they will produce even more fruit. You have already been pruned and purified by the message I've given you." There's a couple little ouch bits in that. If you're not producing fruit, well, there's going to be some stuff that might hurt a little bit. Even if you're producing fruit, there's still going to be some pruning. But that's not the main bit that I want to focus on now. That's just part of the journey. You see, if you're in the kingdom of God, you have been purified. Jesus promised to keep us in shape if we remain in him. In other words, stay connected. You know, we do. We get bent out of shape by stuff that goes on in our world. We find ourselves becoming perhaps, you know, really unwieldy in certain areas. We've had an argument with somebody and I don't know why, whatever, one of the best plans of the enemy is the sensitivity of us Christians. You know, we can go to work and someone can say something to us and it's sort of, oh yeah, but they say to us in a church environment and we're mortally wounded. And how could that person ever say that? Oh, there's only one thing to do, and it's find another church. Whereas in the workplace, well, you get paid and you sort of think, I've got to suck it up and stay there. And somehow we have this two-speed thinking to what goes on. And I am not making excuses for us being idiots. I'm not making excuses for you to be insensitive to somebody. I'm not making excuses for you not to be compassionate. I'm not making excuses for you not to have the Holy Spirit giving you wisdom in your interactions and your relationships with people. But what I am saying is that we've got to make sure that we don't get bent out of shape over everything that comes our way. Because you know what? The enemy wants you out of shape. He wants you rendered useless so that you cannot take any further part in your calling. So how do we combat that? Well, verse 4 says, remain in me and I'll remain in you, for a branch cannot produce fruit if it is severed from the vine. And you cannot produce fruit unless you remain in me. If you want to stay in shape, you must choose to remain connected. And in the last couple of weeks, I've referred to this verse here a lot of times because as we move into another season of a church, I think it's core and key. And Genesis 49:22 said, Joseph is a fruitful vine. A fruitful vine near a spring whose branches climb over the wall. And imagine putting your name in that, you know. Like Peter Swift is a fruitful vine whose branches climb over the wall. And to get to that point, Joseph actually knew a little bit about pruning. He knew about staying connected in the different seasons of life. It was perhaps easy for him to stay connected to the purposes of God and the heritage that he'd brought it up with while he lived at home with his dad, and he was the chosen child. He couldn't do anything wrong, you know. He was his father's favorite son. And, you know, life was good and easy for him. But, and what, the, when the test came, though, what was actually in him proved to be bigger than even the things that were on him and around him. So he stayed connected to the purposes of God when he was in the pit. When his brothers took him and threw him down a pit and were going to leave him for dead. And yet those that know the story know that he ended up in Egypt and he ended up in prison. He stayed connected to God when he was forgotten about in prison. And then perhaps the hardest place to stay connected was when he was in the palace. When he was at the center of a culture that was contrary to everything that he'd grown up with and everything that he knew to be true. And he actually stayed connected to the purpose of God when he was in immense blessing. If you want to stay in shape, if you want to be fruitful, if you want your influence to reach over the wall, well, then we must choose to be connected. Think about your own life as a vine. Do you have disconnected branches? This talks about the body. Jesus says, I am the vine and you are the branches. In other words, as people, we're not the vine, we're a branch that's connected to the vine. So then bring that analogy back to your life and what he's doing in you. Have you got areas of your life or branches of your life? It's like a company sometimes. A company can be doing really well, but it can have a branch that goes rogue. A branch that's not making a profit. A branch that has a different culture. A branch that does things totally different to every other part of that company. Have you come across that? Here in Tasmania, sometimes we get that. You know, you have an issue and you ring up head office and they say, oh, gee, we don't do that anywhere else, but in Tasmania, oh, they've gone rogue. You know, that sort of stuff goes on. Have you got an area of your life that is not growing the way that it's called to grow? Perhaps it's growing wild. Perhaps it's out of shape. Perhaps you've got that rogue branch in your life. Jesus says again in verse 5, yes, I am the vine, you are the branches. Those who remain in me and I in them will produce fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. To stay in shape, number one, I think we've got to choose to have a dependent spirit rather than an independent spirit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. I think sometimes as Christians we understand the connecting and the remaining, but we sort of almost forget about the apart from me. Because that whole getting bent out of shape that I've been talking about, generally speaking, you'll find the first thing that it actually creates in us is an independent spirit. And we find ourselves thinking, oh yeah, you know, I know I'm called by God, but you know what, I'm just going to do my thing. And you have this independent spirit rather than a spirit that is dependent on God and dependent on those people that he's put in and around your world. Anyone who does not, it goes on, anyone who does not remain in me is thrown away like a useless branch and withers. Such branches are gathered up into a pile and burned out. But if you remain in me and my words remain in you, isn't this cool? You can ask for anything you want and it will be granted. Number two, to stay connected, choose to stay in his words and ask in accordance with his word. So what are we going to do? We've got to stay in the word. It says words. It means the word of God. It means that's the written word of God. It means the spoken word of God, the things that the Holy Spirit would be speaking into your life. We've got to remain in those things. And then when we ask for anything in accordance with those words, it will be granted. Why do we feel unfruitful? Because so often things that we ask for are not granted, or we don't feel like they're granted perhaps. And we feel like it's so hard. But the trick is actually being in his words. So that what we're asking and praying is in accordance with the will of God. It is in accordance with his words. It's in accordance with what he's doing now. I think sometimes it's easy to say broad brush stuff. Oh yeah, that's in the scripture. Of course he wants that. But you know what? Are we praying in alignment with what the Holy Spirit is doing now? What he's doing in this season, what he's doing in you right at the moment. Are we praying in alignment with that? I think there is so much power and fruitfulness when we choose to pray in alignment with what he is doing right now in this season. Verse 8. When you produce much fruit, you are my true disciples. This brings great glory to my Father. I have loved you as the Father has loved me. Remain in my love. When you obey my commandments, you remain in my love, just as I obeyed my Father's commandments and remain in his love. Number three, to stay in shape and live fruitful, we've got to choose to be obedient to his commands. Choose to be obedient to his commands. So how do we do that? When Jesus was asked the greatest commandment, what did he say? He said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul and mind. That's what the Old Testament said. And then because he was God, he added to it. And then he said, love your neighbor as yourself. That is the essence of being obedient to your calling. Love God with absolutely everything that you have, and love people with the same passion. Sometimes we complicate it too much. And if we can do that, you see, in your total love for God comes the capacity to love people. And I think so often we get it around the wrong way. We think, okay, if I love people, well then God will be happy with me. And he says, no, he says, I want you to love me with everything you got, and then you can actually love people the way that I've called you to live. And I think that the frustration and the burnout and the hurt comes when we love people thinking that it's going to get us right with God. Whereas his first command was love me with everything. Understand that I am the one that is going to sustain you. I'm the one that is going to make you able to love people in that same way. That's what it means to be obedient. There's more than that, but I think that's a great place to start. Verse 11 says, I've told you these things so that you will be filled with my joy. Yes, your joy will be overflow. This is my commandment. Love each other in the same way I've loved you. There is no greater love than to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you slaves because a master doesn't confide in his slaves. Now you are my friends since I have told you everything the Father has told me. Number four, to stay in shape and live fruitful, choose to love his followers. Choose to love his followers. Love the church. Love your brothers and sisters in Christ. Because Jesus said, you know, what if you remain in me? You remain in my love. And there is no greater command than, there's no greater love than to lay down your life for your friends, which is what Jesus did for us. And then he said, if you do this, you will actually love those who love me. Have you ever wondered why that sometimes seems so hard? Have you ever been struck by how many idiot Christians there are around? Have you ever noticed? I remember years ago, I was sitting in a church service that was a little different to, you know, how I felt the best way to do a church service was. And these guys were into, you know, it was when the whole flag waving thing was in. And I got to this service, I don't know, feeling a bit frustrated and jaded in general. I think just life had been busy and all that. And anyway, these people are, and everywhere I look, someone was doing an idiot thing. And to top it off, somebody started waving a flag behind me and the flag was sort of going backwards and it was touching me on the end of my nose every time it went past. And, you know, I came so close to standing up and, you know, grabbing the flag. I was in that zone. Grace of God, I chose not to. And then there was the whole, you know, Toronto blessing thing that we lived in, some of us who have been around for a while. And, man, did we see idiot Christians. And all these different moves and these different things. And, you know, God was at work in those things, but so was the flesh. Why are there so many idiot Christians about? Because, hey, we are earthen vessels. We are clay pots. We are not perfect. It is actually the love of God inside us that shines through our imperfections. So how do we love our brothers and sisters in Christ when there are so many idiot Christians around? Well, number one, cut them some slack. They are not perfect. It was their spirit that was made perfect when they came into the kingdom of God. Not their thinking, not their body, and not the whole lot of things that are going on in their life. Let's cut them some slack. They're on a journey just like you are. And I think we've got to be careful not to have this expectation of other followers of Jesus that they are going to be perfection, because they're certainly not. Verse 16 says, you didn't choose me, I chose you and appointed you to produce lasting fruit so that the Father will give whatever you ask for using my name. This is my commandment, love each other. Number five, to stay in shape and live fruitful, I think if we can actually deal with some of those other things, we actually get an understanding that we need to choose to live appointed. There's a difference between just being around and being appointed. You're called more than just to hang around the kingdom of God. You are appointed as part of that kingdom. You're not called to hang around a local church. If you're on that journey and finding your spot, that's cool. We're not going to put any pressure on you. But you know what? Our heart for you is to go further than just hanging around a local church. It's actually to be appointed. Not, oh, we're going to call you the minister of toilet cleaning or something like that, and you get a title. No, it's that Jesus actually appoints you and gives you authority to make a difference. That you are not to live like you're just hanging around. You are to live that you are called and you are appointed and you've been given authority to do what he's called you to do. You are to live called, appointed, and sent. Live called. Jesus calls you into something. He says, hey, come over here and have a look at what I've got for you. I've got something significant for you. I'm actually appointing you to go and do that. And because I've appointed you, I'm now sending you to make a difference. If we can get hold of those things, we can actually live in spiritual shape. And not get bent out of shape all the time. Why? Why does the enemy actually get us so sensitive about stuff that goes on in church worlds and between Christians? Why? Because he wants us to take offense. He actually wants you to have an independent spirit rather than a dependent spirit. A spirit that actually is independent and is out there on its own. And often the purposes and everything about that can be good. Like, oh yeah, I want to do this, I want to do that. But there's something that doesn't work because it's an independent spirit. It hasn't been brought under the authority of God. And it hasn't been placed under the authority of his leadership and the people that he's got around him. And I don't say that because I see that we've got big problems in that area around here. I don't see that a lot. But what I do know is that as you become fruitful, you've actually got to work harder to make sure that you have a dependent spirit. Let's decide that we're going to maintain a dependent spirit. A spirit that says, you know what? More of you, Lord Jesus, and less of me. If the team want to join us, we can finish in just a moment. Those two times where I decided to do something about my physical shape just actually started with a choice. First time, halfway through the day, Alex started to cook dinner or something like that, and I said, oh, I'm not eating that. She goes, why? And I said, oh, I've gone on a diet. She said, it would be nice if you told me. And we sort of worked it out after that. And she supported me in it. But it was a choice. I've been thinking about it for a while, and I just woke up one morning and said, I'm doing it. Today's the day. I just think there's some people here tonight and you need to make a choice that you're going to be in spiritual shape. See, I could talk about your calling and your purpose, and I love doing that, the things that God has for you, and you know, prophesy those things that God's got. And I think that's really important. We do that here a lot. But you know what, if we can't get ourselves in spiritual shape, we cannot live out the calling. And just as we finish right now, I want to pray for some people. And this is like, just right now, if you know that you've just got to get in some spiritual shape, why don't you just stand where you are? If it's not a conviction to you, that's okay. Just sit down. No one's going to judge anybody whether you stand up or sit down. I just want Holy Spirit to move on people here tonight. I want some things to be sealed as we choose to actually say, I'm getting in spiritual shape. Lord, as people stand across this place here tonight, Holy Spirit, I just pray that you would start to seal some things as we make a choice that, you know what, there are things that we want to, choices that we need to make. We need to choose to make a few changes here and there. We want to be in a shape for what you've called us into and what you're calling us to do. I pray right now in the name of Jesus, Holy Spirit, that you would just fall on people across this place right now. There would be a sense of this is not just standing up, but there's a sense of, you know what, I'm standing and I'm being empowered and I'm receiving a conviction. I'm receiving a strength that is beyond me. I'm receiving the courage that I need in Jesus Christ to go forward into what he's calling me into. Thank you, Lord Jesus. 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 Lord, I pray right now for some of us here where, you know, we just feel like we've been pressed on every side. We've been pushed and we feel like that's being moved out of shape. And we thank you that in you, you're going to hold us in that place. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Why don't we all just stand now and just... I'm just wondering, Jemima, if you can lead us with that new wine song. Let's just allow, as we finish, we'll be done in a couple of minutes. Let's just allow the Holy Spirit to work on all of us as we leave here tonight.
In the crushing, in the pressing, you're making new wine. In the soil, I surrender, you are breaking new ground. So are you. So I yield to you and to your gentle. When I trust you, I don't need to understand. So make me a vessel. Make me an offering. Make me whatever you want me to be. I came here with nothing, but all you have given me. Jesus, bring new wine out of me. Jesus, bring new wine out of me. In the crushing, in the pressing, you're making new wine. In the soil, in the soil,
bring you wine.
I lay down my old flames to carry your new fire today.
So before you leave here tonight, I want to ask the most important question I can ask you. Where are you at with Jesus? Is Jesus a myth or an idea or a name? Or is he the person that gives you purpose, hope, future, acceptance? Jesus isn't what we as Christians call your Saviour. The link between your past and the most amazing future that you could ever have. The link between a broken world and a perfect eternity. The link between a broken world and purpose and hope as you live out a life in this world. And what I'm saying now is, if you've never come to Jesus and said, Jesus, I believe that you're the Son of God. I believe that you love me. I believe that you love me so much that you would die to deal with my stuff, my rebellion. The Bible calls it sin. That's basically us as humanity doing our own thing. And you've been prepared to say, thank you for doing that. I ask that you would forgive me. You would give me hope. You would give me purpose. And you would connect me to my Father in heaven. And you would give me something to live for. And a security that can never be taken away. If you've never done that, it's really cool. Because every single person who is in the kingdom of God has had to come to a point where they've done that. Do you know, in the last couple of weeks, I've got some great stories. A guy comes to our church, been here in the church for 7 years, I think, checking it out. 2 weeks ago, he prayed that prayer and he meant it. Story a little bit like that in the Derwent Valley this morning. You need to get right with God right now. Just bow our heads, close our eyes. If you do, if you know that Jesus isn't your Lord and Saviour, why don't you just give me a wave, say, hey Dave, I'd like to pray that prayer tonight. That's you. Just give me a quick wave, say, hey, I need to do that. Praise God. Is there anybody else that would like to do that right now? Just give me a wave. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, I thank you that you love me. I thank you that you have a future, a purpose and a calling for me. I thank you for dying for me. I am sorry for my sin. Come in and fill my life. From this day forward, I choose to follow you. Amen. Even if you didn't give me a hand, we had someone respond here tonight, but even if you didn't and you prayed that prayer, why don't you tell somebody you did? Jesus said, you know what, if you acknowledge me before men, I'll acknowledge you before the Father. In other words, he was saying, you know what, your Christianity is not just something you live out in private, it's something that changes everything. It's going to flow out of you. Start by telling somebody about it, because it builds faith in the decision that you've made. We're going to close the service now. Great to have you in church tonight. Thank you, team. Thank you, Jemima. Thank you, guys, the way that you lead us. Well done, Jack. Sonny. Done the daily double today. Well done, mate. That's so good. Don't just go and disappear into a week, you know. Hang around. Go and bring somebody with you. Do something together. Whatever you can. Connect groups during the week, of course. And we've got services here next week. In the in our morning services here at Hobart, and another one in Derwent Valley at 10 a.m. and of course back here at 5:30 next week. It's going to be fantastic. But let's go and make a difference. Let's go and live in a way that, you know, that we maintain and improve the spiritual shape that we've been called to live in. God bless.